my hope is that Buhari will make history. Because there's an article about Buhari that is coming on next after this that is not complimentary to him. And I'm hoping that he will make history, you know, he will make history by putting in place things that would, you know, lead to better participation in politics, you know, and less rancor. If you have direct primaries now, you have less rancor, you have less, everybody knows that they had a stake and a say in what has happened. So it's up to him. It's up to him. But then you see, Buhari's body language is very difficult to read. He always pulls a rabbit out of the hat at the last minute to show what exactly he wants to do. So let's wait and see. They said they'll bring it up again in January. We'll see how far.
But the senators say they're coming to their constituencies this during Christmas.
Some of them can't even go home.
But I already told the people to watch out for them. So that when
some,
they come.
I'm telling you that some senators can't go home for Christmas. One thing that is going to overwhelm them is the demand from their constituencies for all kinds of support.
So then you think they won't do it?
They won't consult constituencies. How many of them consult constituencies? The ones that do it, they do what you call photo ops. They do photo ops. There's one recently that paid for medical, there's some insurance for, you know, and paid the premium for elderly people in her constituency. And I started laughing. Instead of you as a senator to make sure that the elders over a certain age is done for them for free. Rather, you want them to be beholden to you. And then so the elders, they clap for her. Yeah. Everybody is happy. And this kind of tomfoolery, I don't know for how long we're going to be doing this. I don't know for how long our people will not open their eyes and have what you call self-pride. The politics of Awolowo was self-pride. The state would provide for you what you deserve. So you are not beholden to him as a person.
Yeah.
The current politicians we have now, they imprison you and then give you handouts.
And then you thank them for it.
And then you thank them for it. I saw it was splashed all over the papers. Senator, whatever it is, pays for some insurance premium. And I said, what kind of deceit is this? But that's the way we are. It is what we demand that we get.
Absolutely. I cannot say. I mean, I think so. But if they do show up, I've told people earlier this morning to watch out in their constituencies so that if they do show up.
Most of them will not show up. Two, their constituencies, they will consult in any case, will be their own converted, their own supporters.
Followers.
Who will be going there for Christmas, whatever it is.
Handover. Maybe they'll come.
Yes. But. No,
let's use
the word. We have one word, subsidy. The other one, what
palliative,
was the
other one? But the people have to watch out. Just tell us what goes on in your constituency. Watch out over the weekend and New Year and let us know. Let's see our next story. It's also here in the Vanguard newspaper. It's an opinion from the page called Viewpoint. Buhari at 79, a man given so much who gives so little back.
This is a fantastic article written by Olufason, State of the Nation in the Vanguard. Olufason is Ondo, I should know. The Fasons are my in-law, I should know. I wish he'd write an article on what his governor, how his governor appointed his son, or whatever it is, but let's look out. But it's a beautiful piece that he wrote. And it's titled, Buhari at 79, a man giving so much, who gives so little back. And he says here, well, here's why Buhari, the president, has been given so much by Nigeria, but he has so far given so little back. Buhari has been well looked after. He has unashamedly enjoyed the trappings of power and with a sense of entitlement has used the spoils of the system to benefit his family and acolytes. But what has he given back? Little. Buhari has been utterly lackadaisical in running Nigeria's affairs. He is an absentee president. One evidence. President Buhari is more at ease abroad than at home. In fact, for him, home is away. Indeed, Buhari marked his 79th birthday last week far away in Turkey. I don't believe that's the point because he had work to do in Turkey and he wouldn't say because it's his birthday, he wouldn't have gone. So I don't agree with that. I think that's going a bit too far. But let's see what he says again. He says, in a recent editorial, Daily Trust said, in all of the 6 years that Buhari has been in office so far, President Buhari has traveled 130 times to 36 countries altogether, spending about 308 days. Yet Buhari's globetrotting has yielded minuscule foreign direct investment. In fact, foreign investors are deserting and or shunning Nigeria. He has wasted 6.5 years, and going by his record, is likely to waste the remaining 1.5 years. That's not being cynical. Buhari lacks what it takes to run Nigeria and looks likely to leave the country worse than he met it on assuming office in 2015. Wow. It goes further to say somewhere along the line here that take Bola Tinubu congratulating Buhari on his 79th birthday. Tinubu said, and I quote, "I appreciate the unseen work that you have done and continue to do to guide Nigeria ever nearer to its manifest destiny." And Olufasan says, "Really? What a groveling flattery." This is Bola Tinubu was one who said that he appreciates Buhari's unseen work. What is unseen work? Did you ever heard anything like that? But Fasson says it's flattery. And he says that after nearly 7 years in power, it's insulting the intelligence of Nigeria to say such work exists. Mm. And he also calls Buhari, he says that Gorbachev called him an infrastructure president, and that he reduced Boko Haram to a shell of his former self. And he says that, Olufasan says, the last two claims merit no response because the facts on the ground put the lie to them. It's a very interesting article. It's in page 14 of the Vanguard. And I'd like you to read it. But finally, his final word says that the truth is, Nigeria has given President Buhari so much, yet sadly, he might return to his farm giving so little back. And he wishes everybody Merry Christmas.
Right. Let's see this one. I'm viewing a cartoon or a drawing here in the Vanguard newspaper, something similar to The Opinion. Says democracy, why other parties don't win election. A system of moneycracy is what he calls it. It has a fantastic picture of Ghanamo's goals and umbrellas and brooms. You go see it for yourself. The Vanguard has this headline, learning from Dubai's paperless government. Dubai has become the world's first government to run 100% of its operations without paper.
Paper.
Without paper.
I was surprised. I said that I had to review the story. I didn't know. Let me be honest.
Even I'm learning this for the first
time. Dubai has become the only country in the world that runs government without paper. No paper, no file. Hmm. If you tried that here, half of your lawyer workforce will have nothing to do. Believe you me, in the ministry, there's somebody who moves files from table to table and so on and so forth. But in Dubai, everything has gone digital. Hmm. Everything.
Everything.
So you don't even need to come to work sometimes.
Yeah, as long as remote,
you do remote, yes, you get the work done. And the editorial talks about the advantages, of course, in terms of costs. Sometimes you don't know how much, how much goes down in these areas. For example, it says, according to Forbes, the United States government spends $930 million on unnecessary printing costs. I wonder how much we spend, probably double. Because our own is loaded. For U.S. businesses, the annual cost of filing, storing, and recovering paper was estimated to be between $25 billion and $35 billion. I think you should just sit back and enjoy your Christmas. I don't think Nigeria is going to come anywhere near this. Most likely.
In most government offices, the part that gets me is when the oga writes the notes on paper, gives you. You go type it. He corrects the paper. Mm. You take it back, type it and print it again. He corrects that one.
Yes.
You take it back, type it again and print. How many sheets of paper are you going to use?
That, it is called generating employment, don't you know?
Okay. What to get?
That is what is called generating employment.
I don't understand. Let me take some comment from YouTube. Our YouTube page is full. Sheo Ade says, citizens, what language is this? Oh yeah, it's Yoruba. It looks like Spanish. Citizens. Oh, to do to Jeju ni Nigerians. Oh, the most. Okay. Nigerians are easy to deceive. That's what you mean.
Exactly.
I just can't believe that some Nigerians still believe this government. David Karuwi, this electoral act is just about politicians' selfish ambition and not the good of the country. PMB is intelligent and has his own interests too. It's a game of politics between them. Emmanuel Okolamo, Wemimo and Ogajimi, let's know when the lawmakers come to our areas. The fact is they would never go anywhere on this matter. It's your political statement. And now I'm on Facebook. I need to refresh this. Give me a moment. Oh yeah, I'm here. I'm coming. Pinnick has a promise here, and this headline here is sports. I'm sure they talked about it earlier on. We would not owe new Super Eagles coach, says Pinnick. On what basis is this assurance?
But you owe the present one. Since the days of Father Tico, people who are in my age bracket will remember the good old Father Tico. We've had two major problems. One is our insistence that we must have a coach who is not... In fact, I don't even think we want a coach who is black. I think we want an Oyinbo coach. It's that kind of complex that we have.
Hmm.
Whether we like it or not, that's what it is. The irony is we can't afford to pay these coaches. The current technical advisor that everybody is taking to the cleaners, including my bro, Segun Agbede, he must go, he must do this. You are owing him.
Yeah.
You haven't motivated him properly.
How do you?
You're owing him. How do you want him to put in his best? You're owing him. And now look at shamelessly. This is what the NFF is telling us. He says that, Pinnick, he says that we are working on other sponsors who will be responsible for his salaries. come on.
His salary will be based on sponsorship.
I believe in growth, in steady growth. I don't believe in hunting for a coach like going for the Liverpool coach who won that match yesterday and thinking that he can turn your team around. No, we have to progress. Do what you can afford. That's the way we were brought up. You do not have the resources to get a first-grade foreign coach, but you insist on getting it because, again, all kinds of racketeering are behind the issue of bringing in these coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Now you say that you're going to go. It says that... we'll be working on having other sponsors who will be responsible for his salaries. So who has employed the coach? Is it the sponsor or the NFF? And he now says that this way, there'll be a warehouse for his salaries. He now says that Gernot Rohr's outstanding debts will be cleared in the next 10 days. Why have you waited for him to have an accumulation of unpaid salaries? This habit, it goes across the board. It's a Nigerian phenomenon. There was one high chief recently. He had owed his worker salaries for over a year. When he turned 70, he brought the house down. And I looked at Nigerians. Some of members of his staff were there. Hmm. And I was looking and I was saying,
they were possibly compelled to come.
I would have gone in rags. You see, if you don't fight for your freedom in this country, you're not getting anywhere.
Hmm.
If I was compelled to come, I would go in rags. Just to make a point.
Well, you lose your job, and people don't want to lose their job. The idea of having a job, even if you are being old, is pleasant.
You know what we were told? We were told that the gentleman, when people complained, he said, look at my car park is full. Nigeria is a funny phenomenon. He says, there was another one, a publisher of a newspaper who was challenged by his editor and told the publisher, you have not paid me for 1 year. He said, he was said to have said, hey, but you bought a new car. You bought a new car in this year, so I've given you a meal ticket. But it's, this phenomenon of not paying people and getting away with it, we need to tighten up.
A question also, if Gernot Rohr has been old for so long, how was he surviving?
There's a way now.
The way you go.
They call it in corporate language ways and means.
Doings. These days we call it doings.
They call it doings.
Doings. Doings.
It doesn't mean I'm the old man.
Okay.
But I think somebody needs to step in and tell these people to stop bringing us to shame. If you can't have a foreign coach, for God's sake, train a Nigerian. Send 4 or 5 of them on course. And start to build your teams. Must you win at all times?
Hmm.
Every time you bring in a foreign coach, you celebrate him and celebrate and celebrate. At the end of the day, you end up winning them money.
All right. I want to speak, I think after the show, I'll be speaking to a retired colonel, because this issue also came up earlier on. That's the issue of the marriage proposal. This editorial here in The Punch, Nigerian Army is overreacting over a marriage proposal. My listener this morning were asking, what law did she flout?
Look,
need to know, actually, just for transparency.
Leave the military to carry. I don't understand all these things. How many things do Nigerians want to get involved in?
Yeah, but they should tell us if it's public, if it's a public
issue.
It's
not a public issue. She belongs to the military.
But the military belongs to Nigeria.
Excuse me. If she feels that she's been wrongly treated, she can take recourse to the law. She can get a lawyer to take it up with her. Why do we want to get involved in a lot of things that we sometimes don't even understand?
Uh-uh.
There is something. Look, listen. It is very, very clear. The guidelines for the military are not everyday guidelines, because you need to ask yourself what it takes to train a man. To train a man to go to a war front and know that I could be shot. The all over the world, the military has its own laws from within.
We agree. We're saying that in this instance, they should make it known.
Make it known for... you are not a member of the military.
This is the guidelines for the U.S. military right here. Or it's on the internet.
This is not U.S.
This is it now. See, mm-hmm. Yeah, then make it... Look at it. It's downloaded as a PDF file.
Let me tell you. I know. Listen. Get my own whatever straight. The girl herself has not even complained.
We don't know. She's in detention.
How do you know she's in detention? How do you know she's in detention?
Where is she?
I don't know. I don't know where she is.
But that's a usual.
But I haven't heard. She has a member of her family.
They would know. It doesn't. I'm just saying. See, in this matter, if it's a public matter,
It's not a public matter.
But it involves a civilian, and the Nigerian Army
is a civilian. There's things that you do in certain areas that are restricted to that. You see, where I'm going, I'm looking. I couldn't be bothered where anybody wants to make his marriage proposals. If people want to be stupid and follow the European system of doing nonsense things in public, it's their business.
Where I'm going
is this. We can't keep poking our noses in little things, simple discipline. It's like you're disciplined here in this place. What's the problem? What is the problem? Ironically, this article is balanced. This article written by Abimbola Adelakun, this is the part that she says she has an argument for and against. But this is the part that I found interesting. It says, which brings me to the last and strongest point: fraternization while on official. She was on official duty at the NYSC camp. She's guided by rules, indulging in an amorous relationship with a trainee. On that score, Akinlabi's superiors are quite right. Anything to the contrary is mere politically correct twaddle. She should have known better. Her fiancé too should have been more sensible and not made the dick move of showing fellow coppers he dates his superior. Rather than undermine themselves with a public proposal, they should have kept their relationship private until the 3-week orientation period was over. Getting engaged to a subordinate in the NYSC camp potentially jeopardizes Akinlabi's professional relationship with other coppers. People should always steer clear of situations where relationships can descend into abuse of power. In instances where the intentions are noble, for instance, where two consenting adults have marriage plans, the couple should at least be discreet and not give room to interpretations of ethical violations. That utter lack of discretion is clearly the problem in this case. In private offices... Let me land. In some
private... We have 1 minute to go.
I will land in that 1 minute. In some private companies even, two workers are not allowed to get married.
I know quite a number of them who are married.
but in some private companies, the company law says that we can't have husband and wife.
Yeah,
working.
Yeah, agreed. Some companies.
Your 1 minute is up.
No, now it's my turn to take.
No, you have just.
So my opinion on this, I do not think, you know what I told you yesterday when I saw the video, I cringed because number one, she's a soldier and she was getting engaged to a copper in NYC camp. So the,
and she was on official duty.
Official duty. She was supposed to be a superior over the corps member.
Yes.
But I'm saying that because this matter is now public and is of massive public opinion, it's not too much for the army PRO to say, oh, this is the part of the law or the military rules that she flooded. Simple. Well, that's it. See, nobody's saying it's right or it's wrong or whatever.
The security challenges we have.
No. They are not.
It overrides all this.
No. These are matters are exclusive.
It was a lack of discretion. However, if you watch the video, to be fair, the girl herself was trying to
get away. Yeah, I showed it to you yesterday. She was trying to get away.
When she goes on trial, she'll be able to put up a defense.
My question though, if she was a married soldier, if her husband was passing by, gave her a hug, would that be a problem?
You can't give her a hug when she's on duty. You can't give her a hug.
Why can't she
give her a hug? Can I give her a hug? Hug here.
Why are you talking?
How can you be passing by?
That's right.
Let me give you a hug.
Oh my goodness. All right, let me take one more comment. Pemitawo says, you talk about lack of physical cash at banks yesterday. Have been partnering. The lack of cash we're talking about in the papers. He says here, the banks have been partnering with POS agents to make cash available to them.
No, let me use the right word. You say some bank staff.
Yeah, because
the guy, it's not the bank. The banks can't, not the banks.
Yeah.
It is some bank staff. And it didn't happen just yesterday. All of us know growing up in the 70s and 80s, how you go at the back end to go and buy new notes and things like that.
This is really bad. He says that the whole stretch of Bonny Camp to Lekki, that he couldn't find an ATM dispensing. Something that's very wrong. But thank you for bringing that up to our notice. We'll try to follow up on this. All right, that's the show. Jimmy Dixie is back at 9 a.m. Yeah, and I'm out. When I come back, let's talk about how you can handle and provide support for children who have been victims of rape. Gonna be a good conversation. Yeah, coming up at 8. My name is Wemi Moade. When you stay here, I'll be right back.
Yes. 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.